Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 16, and keep your finger there for a minute. I want to read you something I read in a book entitled Hosting the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you something. I want you to think about this. It just keeps coming now. I want to tell you something. Satan's overrated. I want you to think about that. The devil's overrated. Do you realize that the same temptations and the same things he's thrown at us, he's used for years? Come on. Steal, kill, and destroy. And so, in these several lines, it's just something that I want to remind you of. Remember, there is no contest in a battle between God and Satan. The devil is nothing compared to the Almighty One. The battle was between the devil and man, the ones made in God's image. When sin entered human condition, it became necessary for God's Son to become a man to fight on our behalf. It was an unusual fight. First, he displayed absolute authority over the powers of darkness by healing and delivering every person who came to him. Secondly, he lived victoriously and purely. There was nothing of sin that was enticing to him, because there was nothing in Jesus that had value for sin. I like that statement. There was nothing in Jesus that had value for sin. Thirdly, he used his authority only for serving others. He did not use his power for himself. And finally, he did the unthinkable. He gave himself up to die in our place. That sounds like a strange way to win a war, but it was key. In doing so, he gave himself entirely to bring salvation to all humanity. And he didn't even raise himself from the dead. He had become sin. He was dependent on God to raise him from the dead in the same manner we are. When we think of our mission here on earth, when we think of the war that we have or the battle that we have with the enemy, we need to understand and be reminded over and over and over again. There's no doubt who wins. We come to a place where we toil and we fight and we struggle. And at times it brings worry and fear and pain. But we need to be reminded that we're fighting someone who's already been defeated. And the lesson today is one that you've heard the story of, but have you ever really looked at it? And I never looked at it till Friday afternoon and Friday night, and I was praying, and the Lord drops. You ever get just the Lord dropping scripture in your head, and it doesn't go away, and so I began thinking on it, and I started writing notes on it, and I threw the notes away because I didn't think that was any good, and Kirk knows how I do. I got notebook papers out in the dump where, you know, probably sue me for filling the dump with my sermon notes that I threw away. Maybe I should go get them. And then last night as I came and the phone rang and somebody stopped in and things were going on, and I thought, I don't like this. I'm not comfortable with this. So this morning I started over again, and I don't know if I'm really comfortable with it, but I can't get it out of my head, so you're the guinea pigs, and if you choke to death on it, the experiment didn't work. As I start, and we're going to talk about the girl being delivered who was following Paul around saying, these men are servants of the Most High God. We're going to talk about that. But I come across something else. And I really want to change my thinking about some stuff. And I know something, if we are going to be prepared to step into what God is doing, and he's doing it through you, even if you don't even recognize it, and even if you don't want it. There was a man that went to Bill Johnson's church in Bethel, and when Bill came, he started promoting the Holy Spirit and promoting the gifts of the Spirit and promoting miracles, and the guy was on his leadership team, and he made up his mind to leave because he didn't like this. He told Bill, I don't want anything to do with this. I don't see. I like the church the way it was, basically. And Bill said one night he called a leaders meeting. In that leaders meeting, that man had a God encounter. Just absolutely shook him. And he shook for hours. Guess what he's doing right now? He's running the healing rooms in Spokane, Washington, where miracles are happening day after day after day. You may look at me this morning and you say, well, I just like the church comfortable. What is comfortable? Do you ever stop and think about it? I just want the church comfortable. The comfortable church has never done anything for the kingdom because it's about me. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
God's taking us to a place out of comfort. That's how Jesus lived. That's how Jesus walked. That's what happened to Peter. That's what happened to Paul. And he's taking us to a place of authority and power. And we're going to talk about those two terms today. And he's saying, I'm going to shake up your world because the world that you live in needs to be shaken. Listen. And I'm not putting down anybody. I didn't want to talk about things of government much more anymore. But when we're going to come to a place where we're selecting if boys and girls can live in the mother's womb, if you're a girl, we'll abort you. Listen, this isn't China. Amen. This is America. And God needs to sweep this country. And I'm going to tell you something. I honestly believe, friends, the church has failed and become part of the problem. Mm-hmm. It's time to take back the authority that God has given us.
Right.
It's time to walk in the power of Jesus Christ. And if somebody has a demon, they need to be free.
Yeah.
I understand you can't medicate and you can't counsel a demon.
Amen.
They need to be delivered. Amen?
Yeah.
And so that's all I'm doing. I'm saying this church of this group of people can be a lighthouse of freedom that will encourage other people to step into what God is doing. This is not about having a church of 5,000 people or 1,000 people. We'll take anybody God wants to bring out here. But this is about getting the people we got on fire to go out in the name of Jesus and do what God has commissioned us. We okay? I've asked God to really fill me with the Holy Spirit. I've asked God, I've been speaking in tongues, but where's the power? I've been asking God for just a lot of things for this congregation, and I want to demonstrate what God wants to do. And it's time, folks. This is no hype. This is no joke. This is not pastor trying to be a great preacher. That's not about. This is about you folks and us and everybody in this community working together to see people set free.
Amen.
Albert was telling me a story about a friend coming over to see him and God touched him. And that's for every one of us. The testimonies we heard, the power of God we hear, the presence of God breaking through. This is not, friends, this is not some ordinary church thing. This is an experience with God as we host this presence of God and walk and live in the presence of God and see the walls come down. See the walls come down in your family, in your life, in my life. Hey, I haven't arrived yet. I'm like the Apostle Paul, and just like you, we press on for the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And we're laborers together. Just because you may not have a title pastor doesn't mean you're not a pastor in the eyes of God. There's people following your leadership. And you'll either lead them to Christ or you'll lead them to the devil. We're going to lead them somewhere. Wow, okay, where'd that come from? I don't know. I get tired of talking about the devil, but there's just some things I want to put in your mind. When we live with a primary awareness of the enemy and his plans, we instinctively live in reaction to darkness. Then the enemy has a role in influencing my agenda, and friends, he isn't worthy. My life must be lived in response to what God is doing, not what Satan is doing. My life must be lived in a response to what God is doing. Let's take a look at this and I'll try to hurry along. I said I'd try. I didn't say I would. Acts 16. Verse 16. Now it happened as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Doesn't that message sound good? And she did this for many days, but Paul got greatly annoyed or greatly troubled, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. And when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And when they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us being Romans and to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them secure. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas moaned and groaned and cried. Close? Really? Boy, you have a different translation. What translation you got? But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. We talked last week, and we're going to go into it a little bit just to remind you of some things. We've all been commissioned. And I started thinking as I sat down last night and then came in this morning, what Paul was doing here was continuing to fulfill his commission. You say, "What are you talking about?" Go with me to Acts 26 for just a moment. Acts 26. And again, verse number 16. After Jesus says, "I am Jesus," he says, "But rise and stand on your feet, for I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you." Now listen to this commission. Here's a commission God gave Paul. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to my heavenly vision. God said, "I've called you to turn them from darkness to light, from Satan to God." This young lady was possessed by a spirit of fortune telling, so to speak, divination. The words she was saying seemed to be okay. But the difference was the spirit she was saying it in. These people knew this lady. They knew what she was and what she was doing. And as I look at it, and you may have a total different opinion, and that's fine, because I'm just sharing right now my opinion. My opinion of this is Paul dealt with it because he didn't want to be connected to the spirit of Satan who was propelling her to do what she was doing. Make any sense? There were two spirits at work, one in Paul and one in the gal. The one in the gal was demonic. Even though she was prophetically saying something from Satan that was true, these men are servants of the Most High God, but it was the right message from the wrong spirit. I want you to understand, you can get a right message from somebody who's under control of a wrong spirit. Years ago, I was sitting in my office and somebody came in and started talking. It was a very casual conversation. And all of a sudden, they started prophetically speaking, not from God, but from the devil. And I said, "That's not God." How did I know that? Through the Holy Spirit. How did Paul know it? Through the Spirit of God. We need the gift of discerning of spirits who lets us know if God is speaking or some evil force is speaking. And so Paul dealt with it, not as something that should be built up as a great big deal. Paul dealt with it because it was part of his commission from God. If you remember last week, we talked about commission and power. Power comes from a God encounter, baptism in the Holy Spirit, a dream in the night where you see this big, Ray, hold him down now, I don't want him to get scared, big thing confronting you. Authority comes from the commission given to you by God. When God commissions you to do something, he gives you the authority to do it. I want to look at something else here. Jesus said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth." Now, how much is all authority? So if all authority is given to Jesus in Matthew 28, 19, how much authority has been given to Satan? Do you get that? I'm going to go over it again. If all authority was given to Jesus, how much authority does the devil have?
None.
Can't hear you.
None.
Can't hear you.
None.
Were you going to remember that when you go out there? You see, Satan could not have gone in the Garden of Eden and overthrew it because Adam and Eve had dominion. He had to come in and get delegated authority from them by lying to them and deceiving them, and they followed him. When we listen to Satan and do what he says and tells us to do, we're giving him dominion. He has a right to come and attack us. When you stand in the authority of Jesus Christ, he has no right to come into your house. He has no right to try to invade your presence. He is coming in as a tyrant trying to overthrow something when you're in charge. And so Paul looks at the lady in the authority invested in him through the commission that God gave him. I know what you're thinking. I'm going to get to it. And because he had that authority, he said, "I command you." He didn't say, "I suggest you come out." He said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ that you get out of her." And you know something? The devil didn't even put up an argument. Don't be wimps in dealing with Satan. Because Jesus said, These signs shall follow them that believe. He commissioned us to do the work, and part of that work is casting out devils, taking authority over the work of Satan, because you are commissioned and anointed and empowered through God encounters to do the work that God has called you, and you need to do it. Amen. Because we've been sitting around too long, peacefully coexisting with Satan, and he's tearing this country apart because the church don't know or don't have the courage or don't have the authority or taking the authority that God given us to deal with what's going on here. And that's why our government's in a mess. Hello, I'm not going to talk about it. We're in a mess. I'm not talking Democrat or Republican. They'll shake them up in the same bag and throw them out. They'll probably come up the same way. Exactly. And so we need to look at this. The demon left. I would like to say the story ended there and everybody peacefully coexisted together and everything was fine. When you take people's God away from them, who sometimes is their money, there can be a fuss. In the Christian walk, in Paul's life, no good deed went unpunished. You get that? No matter what he was doing, he was in trouble. And so all of a sudden, there's an uproar. People are going to lose money. The people that were making money from this girl because she'd go tell them their fortune or do whatever they were going to do. And money was gone. You got the other mic? Bring it up here and come up here a minute. I'm going to put you on the spot, but I'm not sure if you remember. How's your memory this morning? Okay, remember the kid? Remember the kid in the book or in the story or you heard down at Chicago that was going to the mall and he had to go back and get in line for that fortune teller? Okay, I'll tell the story. That look, you know, that deer in the headlight look, that's one where he puts it on where I can't tell if he knows or not. You know, forget you, this is your message. I'm saving it for a better day. I'm not going to help. I understand. We have to love him anyway. Anyway, this guy was with another missionary in a country, and they were going through town. They'd been out to eat, and as he walked by the mall or whatever building it was, he saw the fortune teller, and God told him, I want you to go talk to her. You remember now? Come on. Yeah, I'm trying to put it together.
He said,
because this ties in.
He was one of the speakers there.
Yeah, he was one
of
the speakers.
He was in another city ministering, and he was with the senior pastor, and they had gone out to lunch, and he went by the fortune teller shop, and just jumped out at him. He just grabbed his spirit, and he moved in that, and he knew when God was speaking. But he's with, you know, this older gentleman, and he's at his church, speaking at his church, and, you know, and they're wanting to get going, get back to the church. And so he said, I did the old drive-by prayer, you know, just kind of blessing God. And he knew it was wrong. He knew it couldn't do that. So he got in the car, and they're driving away, and he's just feeling miserable. Man, I missed it. I let God down. But, you know, it's this pastor's deal. And, you know, I submitted to him, and he said, fortunately, the guy's wife, I think, was Jamaican, and said she was all excited, and she heard from God and said, wait a minute, are you sure you were supposed to do something? And he said, oh, hallelujah. He said, can we turn the car around? So they went around the block. He said he got back out, and he went over to the store, and he said, I can't remember the whole story, but he went in, and he said, what's going to happen in here now? And there was a lady giving readings, tarot cards and whatever, and telling fortune. And so he got in line, and all these ladies were there getting their fortunes read or whatever. And so he walked up and finally got up to him, and she turned it over, and I think it was, she jumped back, and it was the card of death or whatever. And And she got called away. Something happened, and so he went and he said, "Man, I gotta figure something out here. I don't know what I'm doing. I know I'm supposed to be in here, but I don't know what to do." So he went over to the little bargain book sale, and it was a New Age fortune telling witchcraft kind of thing. And so he pulled out one of these books, and it was kind of talking about that. And he said, as he's reading the title of this book, he said, I got a download from God. And he said, man, just started pouring in his spirit. Sean Smith is the guy's name. And I just remember
keep
that.
Keep remembering.
And so
got you up here
as he's standing there, do you remember the things that God told him
about
three or four specific things about this gal? She wanted to be in witchcraft or in whatever it was, fortune telling or witchcraft, to be, you know, to get power in her life. But she ended up getting in this relationship with a mentor and lived with this guy, and he abused her, and you know, it was a terrible situation. And she never wanted to do that. She wanted to be an artist. Oh, and he said the one thing that God told him to tell her specifically. He said, "Go tell her I'm your sign." He said, you know, he said, that kind of sounds like you're, you know, a pickup line. I'm your sign, you know. And he said, I've never been that kind of a forward guy. And he said, all right. And so she had kind of gotten done doing what she needed to do. And he said, can I talk to you? And she said, yeah. And so they went over and she was talking with him and telling him kind of all about her life, you know, and I do this, and I give these kind of readings, and I do, you know, whatever, and going on and on. And he thought, well, I'll let her talk, and then maybe she'll hear me out. And so she talked and talked about, you know, all the universe, and, you know, and tying in with this power, and, you know, and, you know, finding this and that, and the, you know, the great energy and all this kind of stuff. And he let her talk all whatever, and so then she got done, and she said, and what about you? And he said, well, I give readings too. And she said, oh, you do? And he said, yeah, I give mine from Jesus. And right away, she just, I mean, wall went up, and she just, that's it, I'm done. And she was walking away, and he said, God told me to tell you I'm your sign. She froze, and she got mad, and she turned around and said, who told you? Who sent you here? And just got furious at him and freaked out on him. And he said, Jesus, that's all. That's all I know. That's all I know. She said, I was in my room today, and I was done. I was ready to give up. I'm done. You know, I'm probably killing herself. He didn't say that specifically, but she said, I'm done. I can't handle this anymore. I can't handle this life anymore. She said, I'm done. She said, I told the great energy or the spirit or whatever the thing is out there, I don't even believe that this stuff is real anymore. And if you're real, I need a sign. You send me a sign today. She goes to work. Guy walks in and says, I'm your sign. He said, and there's more than that. He said, this isn't what you, God told me that this isn't what you really wanted to be doing. You wanted to be an artist. And this was a second choice for you. You just needed to make ends meet. And so you got into this, and there was a guy who took you under his wings and was really going to teach you the ways of this magic and stuff. And he really abused you. And she just started bawling. She said, all of that's true. All of that's true. And he said, well, Jesus sent me here to tell you that. And she said, I guess I need Jesus, huh? And so she ended up getting saved, and close she goes back over to her booth, and she hangs up a sign, and it's closed. I'm serving Jesus now. So she said, I guess I need to find a church. She said, there's a church down the road. He said, that's a good one. Go to it.
Who says God doesn't hear what we say? So Paul delivers the damsel or the young girl, and he's thrown in jail. And let's look at something for a moment. Just, I don't like Satan attacks. It's a distraction. But I can guarantee you almost certainly that something will happen in your life that will try to get you to lose focus. When you said, I'm pressing into God, come hell or high water, I'm pressing into God, and maybe hell and high water will come. But it's a sign. It's a sign you're on the right path. It's a sign you're working for the King. It's not something that has to take you down. It's not something that has to destroy you emotionally. It's not something that's going to make you throw up your hands and quit. It's something that says, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. Moses was in the same place. He meets this burning bush, something talking to him out of the burning bush. And finally, he asked God a question. But who shall I say went with me? And maybe God didn't hear it right. The question, I'm sorry, was who shall I say sent me? And God answered him by saying, I'll be with you. But God, who shall I say sent me? He says, I'll be with you. And then Moses says, but who am I? And God says, I'll be with you. Tell him, I am sent you, and I'll be with you. That's all we need to know. All we need to know is God is with us. Whatever it might be. Whether we're thrown in jail, or whether we're martyred, or whether whatever's going on, God is with us. And Paul took opportunity, and Silas took the opportunity to praise God. And all of a sudden, there's an earthquake. God had this whole thing planned out. You know, sometimes it's great he doesn't show us everything we're going to go through to get to where he wants to take us. You really want to know? The earthquake happens. The jailer runs in, going to kill himself. Paul says, do yourself no harm. We're all here. The jailer takes them to their house, feeds them, washes their wounds. Paul preaches. You know, just remember something. When that verse comes out, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved in your whole house. Don't just take that as a bottom line of everything. Read the next verse. It says, and Paul taught them the word of God. And so the prisoners were taken in, fed, cleaned up, and saw a mini revival through what was going on. Okay, look at me. You've all been commissioned. I want you to join me in something, not right here, but in your private life. Some people, you know, sometimes we don't understand. I got filled with the Spirit. Why do I need to be refilled? Why do I need to be baptized again? Or why do I need this? You know something? Because we give it all away. Somebody said to D.L. Moody, why do you need to be filled so much with the Holy Spirit? He said, because I leak. So just come in the presence of God on your own time and just say, God, and it may take a while. Do it someday. Have nothing to do. Just say, God, I need just absolutely a fresh encounter of the Holy Spirit with you. You may be shaken, rattled, and rolled. You may have no emotion at all. You may speak in tongues. You may be like the early church where the place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Don't put any conditions on it. Say, God, if you want me to speak in tongues here, I'll take it. If you want me to shake, rattle, and roll, go ahead. But fill me. I really need you, Holy Spirit. And then fulfill the commission. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, cleanse a leper. As we said last week, you may want a new job. Well, get your new job and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Why? Because that's our commission. That's our assignment. Why? Because it glorifies Jesus. Amen? Amen. Raise your hands with me. Father, you commissioned these people, just like Peter and the Apostle Paul and just like Jesus, to heal the sick, cleanse a leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. You've anointed them. And Lord, we've either been afraid or misled or misguided or listening to the wrong voices. But Father, weekly you bring people in our path that need you. And in Jesus' name, we accept that commission. Just say, Jesus,
I accept
the commission that you gave us from our Father. I will do what you ask me to do because I will be what you ask me to be. Lead people to me and lead me to people. And let me not ignore what you've done in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to tell you this, and this keeps coming back to me too. The key to our relationship with God is His grace. His grace is not only unmerited or undeserved favor. You're going to hear that till the cows come home. But His grace empowers you to do what He commissioned you to do along with the Holy Spirit. Somebody defined grace as God's empowering presence that enables us to be what He's called us to be and do what He's called us to do. Step into that grace, because that grace will lead you to the Holy Spirit and the power that God wants displayed and the authority. Keep in mind one thing here. You ever pray for somebody you didn't feel any power? Step into the authority. The authority is there even if you feel weak. The authority is there even if you feel empty of power. You still have the commission. The commission brings the authority. Don't run away from that. I thank God for some of the teachings I'm getting. I thank God to realize that there are men and women out there teaching things that we've put on the back burner without even thinking about, because it's from God. Have a great day.